The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome everyone to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM. Serving southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio. However, people can tune in from anywhere in the USA on the internet, calling up AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Now, you can also listen to rebroadcasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from the front page of the internet site. You just click on the Listen to Rebroadcast Anytime link. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do some exciting things today on the broadcast. We're going to ask a few questions. We have a guest going to be joining us today. And there are so many things happening in this United States of America that it's time for people to really take a good long look at our future. In fact, over the years, we have done so much to help the world, but we have not done enough to help us in the United States of America. To begin, joining us today is going to be Bruce Bassett Powell. And Mr. Powell is currently a chapter chair and also an assistant district director for SCORE in South Texas. SCORE, of course, is a national organization helping, encouraging people to go into the business world, letting them know what they feel and do would be best, and giving them ideas before they take a major leap. And also, Bruce is a consultant to an outdoor furniture industry, and he's lived in the East and Southern Africa area. He returned to the UK for a few months before going to Finland to finalize being in the papermaking industry. Then he returned to the UK. Mr. Powell joined a paper manufacturing firm, part of News Corporation, which was owned by Rupert Murdoch. And then he joined a packaging company in the United States, which he accepted, and he was very pleased that he did that. He was in the packaging industry for 10 years before starting a furniture company in 1984, importing and distributing outdoor furniture for patio stores, gardens, and garden stores, and others. He's got a long history of dealing with various countries, including the UK, Poland, Hungary, Italy, and many others. And in 2000, he was employing over 100 people, and later he sold that business to a Texas firm. The products Mr. Powell imported from Southeast Asia were hardwoods not grown here in the United States of America. And, of course, he has a lot of business experience, so we're pleased to welcome him. Bruce has been on the broadcast several times. I just wanted to give you a little brief history of his background. And he's been in business. He's been helping to encourage people to go into business. He's a longtime friend of Larkin Conley, who has also been a SCORE mentor. And I'm pleased to welcome Bruce Bassett Powell to the broadcast today. Bruce, tell us what do you see happening on the horizon?
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Michael. And good morning to you, Mark, Rich, Larkin, and Henry, of course. I'm glad to be on today. Yes, it's a wild world we're living in the U.S. today. There's lots of things that are going on that right now in Washington, which everybody's going to wonder about the outcome. But Anyway, yes, you're right. I've been in the importing business for a long time, and I know that your whole work is to have goods made in the USA, and I agree with that. Importing is never going to end. It's just got to be part and parcel of the free trade that the world has been doing for centuries. I used to employ upwards of 100 people in my Philadelphia factory. Actually, it was out in Malvern. And we used to bring teak furniture in from Thailand and Indonesia, and we used to repackage it and ship it out all over the country to patio stores. It was a very good business. Went for maybe 16, 17 years. I now work with a company that imports umbrella frames from China, and the supply situation hit us as hard as anybody else. We ordered a container load of frames back in May of last year, and it only arrived 2 weeks ago. The irony is that umbrella frames are nothing if they can have the canvases put on them. And that's where supply chain issues are still impacting us. The fabric that goes on the umbrella is manufactured here in the United States by a very large company who make a solution dried acrylic covers. And they're back in January and February when we ordered them, they were 16 to 18 weeks out. They're still 24 weeks out. And we've had very little supply, so we can't sell umbrellas, even though we've got the frames now.
Bruce, I have a question for you. Are those frames available to be made here in the United States?
Well, they're too costly to be made here in the United States. There are a couple of companies out on the West Coast that do manufacture them, but they are very, very expensive. You often see their umbrellas, coverings or what they are, big, look like big white tents. They manufacture stuff like that. But regular consumer umbrellas, you can go on Amazon, you can go on Wayfair. They're just not made here.
Well, that's, to me, I see an opportunity for another company to do something to make them here. Bruce, part of the problem America experienced over the last, say, 35, maybe even knocking on the door of 40 years is no one tried to be competitive. They just wanted to make that money. They just wanted to have their bank accounts filled and never look out for the people or the country. I'm going to ask you a question. 35 years ago, when importing products was, you know, the thing to do, it became a great thing here in the United States. However, after we look at the 35-plus year history, I feel really that America lost a lot of its heart and soul to benefit profits for investors, and the hell with the American people. That's an unfortunate reality, but that's how I feel. And when I go to stores, and I even talk to some of the cashiers that I know, they said it's the same thing. People are coming in, especially now with this unbelievable inflation. They're coming in and they're buying the basics. And doing that is going to hurt everybody, whether it's imported stuff, it's American made, because you can't pay big money for gas and energy and then have the store just expect your regular discretionary type purchases. It doesn't work like that. Bruce, were any of the items made that you were making or importing, were they tariffed in any way?
Yes. In fact, interesting enough, although we buy our fabric here in the U.S. and it's U.S. made, the fabrics are one of the biggest tariffed products that are imported into the U.S. And yes, just about everything you get from China has a tariff on it now.
Well, was it that way? Was it that way 35 years ago?
Well, yes, China has always had a tariff on it. But if you bring stuff in from Indonesia, Thailand, I think they're still most favored nations.
Okay.
There's no tariff on the furniture that comes in from there. But, Michael, when you talk about investors and all that kind of thing, 99% of the firms that supply, say, the outdoor furniture industry are small companies. Then there's only a few big companies, but most of them are small companies, and they have employees to pay, and they need the sales. So
Well, Bruce, right now in the United States of America, we see in some cases 70, 80, or 90% of the common items that we're using, untariffed because of the favorite nation status, coming here into the United States, being sold. The benefit goes to the companies. And I have to report this today, too. We have more corporations that sold out to foreign countries in the last 15 years than any of us would imagine. At one time, New York City would be the big board capital of America. Today, the big board capitals are located in foreign countries. And in some cases, they're, run by dictators, by, the Chinese government, whatever. And they do not care what anybody asks for and says. But that is why I'm saying this, because 70, 80, or 90% of common use items now coming at the ownership of a foreign country, coming to the United States of America, untariffed. That really hurts us on both ends. First of all, 35 years ago, a lot of those items were made right here in the United States of America. Many were made in Philadelphia, Camden, Wilmington. Those places are vacant. Those buildings are totally apartments, or they're just knocked down or standing abandoned. And yet no people are talking about what are we going to do to help bring at least a 50-50 balance. I'm not against importing items or exporting, but I really believe it needs a balance. America's businesses, small businesses especially, are struggling very big time, not able to afford the cost of new products to present to their customers, not able to afford the cost of gas, energy, delivery services, and everything else. We have in the city of Philadelphia restaurants, stores, and other services that all had to raise the cost of their products because of the cost of energy. Delivery services, general operations, gas, and the presidential order by President Biden in January 2021, shortly after his inauguration, just really took the heart and soul right out of America. If you were advising President Biden, what would you tell him about this situation? Because it's going to hurt imported products. It's going to hurt exported products. It's going to hurt everything. Now, here is something else that came to light in the last 2 weeks. Products from America are becoming too costly for foreign countries to receive. So that is going to be another open door for foreign countries to do business with their closer neighbors, and the hell with America.
Well, you see, a lot of those foreign countries are also suffering the same kind of inflation that we're having here. So the UK's gas is about double what ours is right now. And they're buying for a litre the same as we were buying for 5 gallons just a few years ago, and that's even worse now. And you talk about 35 years ago, Michael, the first things I ever imported was cast aluminum furniture made in Poland. And I bought from the UK, Poland, Hungary, and Romania, and traveled to those countries. And it was we were paying tariffs on those, especially from the UK. If you've ever looked at the tariff book, it has a long and lengthy name, you'd be staggered at how they calculate the tariffs. You know, you've got a chair with 4 legs on it, and if it hasn't got a back, it's one tariff. If it's got a back, it's another tariff. And it's almost ridiculous that the way they do it, but you know, they still pay tariffs, and we used to use all the furniture we purchased from Romania, Hungary, and Poland. We used the great Polish ocean lines to ship it to Felixstowe and then on to us. So
I know of those situations, and I know of that line. And the biggest, most important thing is America's leaders need to do something. Bruce, let me tell you this before I go to Mark. Can anyone tell me why no member of the House or Senate, Democrat or Republican, has introduced any type of legislation to end the gas and energy crisis here in the United States? I don't understand it. It's been over 16 months. It's passed. And nobody says anything. I mean, you don't hear it in major news, on CNN, Fox, or any of these places. Nothing is said. Has anyone heard? Otherwise, I haven't. Why would these people who are supposed to be our guiding force, looking out for the best interests of America, afraid to introduce the Emergency Energy Act and put an end to this executive order? We have enough fuel in this country and in between Alaska and America for over 200 years of oil. Until we get 50% of the cars able to be electric in the United States, the order should go out the window immediately. But when I speak to the politicians, they say, oh, Michael, I can't be the first one to do it. So this some kind of a merry-go-round. I can't be the first. I can't be the first. I wouldn't put my name if I assign it, but I'm not going to be the first to introduce it. Why wouldn't you be the first to introduce it?
One of the reasons is that everything has a knock-on effect. Whatever the Congress does or whatever the President does to lower the price of gas, you'll find something else will get in the way of it. I think the corporations are looking out for themselves, which they always have done, and I don't see they think that, changing gas prices. I think some states have taken off the tax, which is good, and I think the federal tax should come off.
Bruce and everybody listening, I just want to tell you how I feel. I feel right now that America is on its knees. America is on its knees. begging foreign countries to send us more gas when we have 200 years of gas, natural gas, that the gas that we could use for our cars. We're on our knees begging these, in many cases, tyrants to send us stuff over here. It doesn't make any sense to me. This is a crisis that needs to be addressed now. Before another president tries to come into office and say, yeah, let's continue it. No, this should be something that is addressed during the midterm election. And if it's not, anybody who didn't address it should be voted the hell out.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Mark, can you welcome Bruce Bassett Powell?
How we doing, Bruce? Mike, I think Larkin and Richard, Ron and Henry.
How are you?
You know, Bruce, always great to hear from you. You know, I'm always fighting the fight and, you know, guilty of loving America. I love, you know, what you bring to the table, Bruce. You've got a lot of great history, and you're one of them business owners, the people that work 100 hours a week so they don't have to do a 40-hour job. And, you know, you're still going. But, you know, a lot of things we just covered. I had a great lady on my other radio show yesterday, Jane Casey, and she invented this fancy pan. And it's kind of a neat device if you're going to parties. You put your potato, your salads, your potluck dinners, whatever in it, and you don't have to leave your favorite dish so your neighbor gets a new dish. But she, we were talking, she's in California, and she started 7 years ago. Soccer mom invented this with her sister, and just a great product, and she keeps growing. But she ended up manufacturing here, Bruce, and she couldn't find any place in California with expenses so high, so she's got two manufacturing places in Illinois. And I thought that was pretty interesting yesterday. Two of them are going. It's a lot of plastic in her product, and she makes the tins, too, that go under this product. And pretty neat, but, you know, I said, hey, how's the gas, and how's the gas prices in California? I heard it was up to $10. She goes, no, the news is off. It's $9.50. I had to bring this up because I said $9.50. I said, oh my God, I'm in New York. I always thought, and Rich would agree, New York was the toughest. I called it, it's boot camp for all businesses. New York State's just tough. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure they can make it tougher on a business. They will. But California, very tough. She's a lot of people fleeing California and New York, of course, and going to Tennessee, Florida, to see Larkin and Rich because they're good people, I think, you know, so they're going down there. But California just has a lot of its own issues. But she's got a product. I asked how COVID helped her, hurt her. She since her product was used at houses a lot and for social gatherings, she thought COVID would hurt. It ended up people were still ordering her product because they ended up to see the neighbors and hanging at the house. But you know, even with the American factory, she's having troubles now, and she didn't want to talk about it a lot. I said, no, be honest. A lot of it's because of worker shortage. And her and I think all of us, and nobody can come up why people aren't going back to work or how they don't have to. And but she's got a great product, 7 years strong. Larkin, you'd love her, but doing real well. But two American factories. She just opened this other American factory because a lot of it was product delay. She couldn't get the product, and a lot of it was worker shortage. And then it was just poorly run factories, too, still in America. So America factories has their problems. But I think the supply and demand on these American companies, because we took our eye off the ball, and, you know, Bruce, you're trying to get fabric here, and all these companies are getting stressed out because they have so much demand now, which you dream of. They don't have enough workers, and, you know, again, you can automate it, and I love the 3D printing, Bruce, and I think there's a great future in 3D printing and additive manufacturing, and there's so many ways to beat China and foreign goods other than, you know, but I think what I'm getting at, you know, this lady's doing really well, but she is seeing problems even with the companies and manufacturers in America because there aren't that many. And they're extremely getting stressed. Mike, your point on America, you hit it. You said it's losing its heart and soul. If you look like at America like a company, you know, you always want to find your best product, your economic denominator, and what you got most passion for. I think America was great at producing top citizens that believed in their country and wanted to produce and contribute to society. And I think, you know, we lost sight of the ball. We're not the team we were, and it's very scary because everybody's independent and selfish. I think America lost its drive and lost its work ethic. And, you know, it's funny. I've been thinking a lot on this lately, Mike, but America's in trouble for many reasons, and they can't agree on anything. I had Chris Jacobs do a 2.5-hour commercial with me. Out in New York, and he was running for office again, and he just resigned over the weekend. because he was getting some backlash from his party about gun rights and things, and it was a shame because he's a great guy, not a good guy. But he didn't want the media to eat this thing up, and he just bailed out. He bailed because the system's so broke. But Mike, a lot of things going on. Made in America, I still truly believe from my heart it's the answer for 50-50 fair trade, support the country you live in. Everybody I've been interviewed with from around the world, remember Japanese did Project Wisdom, Project Reshoring with me, they all believe in what we do, support the country you live in. But we've got to start teaming up, one country, one goal, or else if we don't start uniting, it ain't going to get better.
You're right. And Mark, I want to add something to that. You know, going out to various events and going shopping, I do talk to everybody that I possibly can to get ideas what's on their mind and what they think is happening. Most people are very discouraged because 2 years ago, there was a lot more peace in the USA. Their prices were more reasonable, even it was during the pandemic. People felt a little bit encouraged that when the pandemic is over, we'll be able to get back to normal. With all the new price increases, all the gas prices, everybody's mood has changed. Even the vacationers, everybody is, I don't know if we can do that much this year, we'll have to do less. It's all based upon a stupid presidential order, and it should have been abolished a day after it was signed into law. And I still do not understand that they do not understand that 1% of the cars and trucks in the United States and the world only have a possibility of using an electric power battery. And yet they're saying we're trying to get everything moving. I can't figure it out. And by the way,
I just want to bring up, so we've got buses coming back to our store. Now, the travel industry got devastated. A lot of my friends lost their travel businesses that own buses and whatnot over the last 2 years. 2 years ago when the pandemic started, we had one bus that year, and we were averaging 150 tour buses coming to the Made in America stores. And we're back up, you know, last year we got to 30. We're back up to 66 right now, and I just had a bus from Nebraska. Monday, I had a bus from Houston, Texas yesterday, 115 degrees. Must be by you, Bruce. And I showed her pictures of feet of snow. She couldn't believe it, this one lady. But so we've had buses all over. And I asked Timmy Tours, is out of Illinois. Timmy brought us two buses, and she owns 13 buses now. She took a beating through the COVID, but then the government did give her a loan. But now the government wants to tax the loan. But anyways, I said, what's it cost to fill a bus, Timmy? And she said, $1,800, 250-gallon tank. And I said, how'd this tour go? She said, I booked it 3 years ago. I said, how'd you cover the extra fuel? She goes, I ate it. I said, why? And Larkin, you'd know because she wants to keep the customers that she's been taking care of, but she can't eat many of them with the fuel so high. So the point is, I mean, if you talk, we always wanted when we elected a public official, I said, I want a business owner, I want a report card, see how they're doing, and we want term limits. Well, if you looked at our leadership now, I mean, you look at the executive orders that were administrated right away. You look at Afghanistan, the nightmare. You look at how Ukraine was handled, how everything, the economy, we're in tough shape. If you gave a report card to Mr. Biden, it's a bad one.
Oh, absolutely. Correct? You know, just let me ask Rich. Rich, if I was to say to you that Mr. Biden was going to put this, he said during the campaign he was going to focus on all this new energy and all that, that's great. The thing is, if you saw, you were in elected office, and you saw this executive order put on the table and watched him sign it and all, if you were a member of the House or the Senate, would you go against that? Considering the fact that it may hurt the American people more than it would help. Rich.
Well, good morning, Michael, and everyone, Mark, Henry, Bruce and I, you know, Bruce, I need to meet you because you and I have found alignment on some issues. And I guess, Michael, I'm going to try to answer if I can give a slightly long-winded answer to this. To this question about gas and petroleum. I'm going to say something that a lot of people are going to roll their eyes at. But the data, Bruce, is going to back me up. You want to know what that is, Michael?
Yes, I do.
The United States already is energy independent. We already are.
Mm-hmm.
We have been a net exporter of crude oil and petroleum products, which is not gasoline, Bruce. We have been a net exporter for the last half year. What we are dealing with now, Michael, you can go back 2 years later. See, the problem, Bruce, is that our Homo sapiens species, we haven't evolved yet to the point where we put the fire out early. We wait until it's a raging inferno, and then we say, oh, we better do something about it. Right, Bruce? We haven't evolved yet to that point. In 2020, Michael, when people were driving far less, oil prices were doing what, Bruce? Plummeting. That's why gas was $1.50 in 2020, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, President Trump leveraged America's energy capabilities against the Saudis and told the Saudis, if you guys don't start cutting oil production, you're going to lose our military aid. You remember that, Bruce?
He went and then, with the king.
And then, right? Remember that? And then, since 2020, Michael, we've pumped in, I think, about $9 trillion into circulation. Both parties have done it. So people drove a lot less. We leveraged one of the largest creators and exporters of oil in the world in the Saudis. We pumped $9 trillion into the economy. My question is, what did everybody think was going to happen? I mean, what am I missing here, Bruce? Mm-hmm. What $9 trillion cut production, forced another country to cut it, $9 trillion goes into, and I haven't even touched upon the fact, Michael, that tens and tens and tens of billions of dollars have redistributed themselves into a lot of states that are not a California or a New York, Mark, that are Florida, that are Texas, that are Idaho, that are Montana, et cetera, et cetera. So at the end of all of this, if you printed $9 trillion, Michael, right now, you printed $9 trillion, you put it into circulation, what do you think would happen? What's going to happen? That's the reality. Now, no one should construe what I'm saying, Mark, as how you should vote. I don't do that anymore. I don't do that stuff anymore. I used to be that guy, say, vote for this person, vote for that person. I don't do it anymore. But I will close with this point, Bruce. I have a customer who does what's called MRO work. Okay, I'm not going to name their name because I don't have their permission, so to speak, to tell it. I have a customer who does MRO, maintenance, repair, and operations, Mark, for one of, shall we say, one of the largest freight companies in the world. I mean, this guy is such a Republican. If Genghis Khan had an R after his name, Mark, he'd vote for Genghis, okay? And here's what he told me, Bruce. He said that anybody who thinks that Republicans taking over as the congressional majority are going to do anything about gas prices are living in, as he joked with me, as you like to call it, Rich, a utopian illusion.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. not coming from MSNBC. That's coming from a guy who said if Jeffrey Dahmer was a Republican, he'd vote for Jeffrey Dahmer. That guy. So again, I'm not defending any one party here, Michael. All I'm trying to say in my never-ending pursuit to try to get our species to evolve to a point where we put fires out early before they're raging infernos, there are a lot of Byzantine, esoteric, intricate details and realities and facts that have gone into over the last few years what have got us to this point. Look, it galls me to go to the gas station, Mark, and pay what I have to pay. It galls me to pay what I need to pay for rent, Michael. It galls my wife to pay what we need to pay for health insurance. But my question for everyone is this. Whether you supported that spending or not is fine. You can have one's opinion on it. But the reality is there was $9 trillion plus spent with billions and billions and billions distributed across states over the last 2 years. What did we think was going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Bruce, what did we think was going to happen? Bruce, tell me.
You know, Rich, you're right. And here's something else I want to bring to everybody's attention. If you're a homeowner a building owner, a business owner, all of the insurance companies are now reassessing the cost of doing a repair at a time of need. So that means inflation is going to hit not only food, driving, travel, you know, we're vacationing, going to work. It's now going to start hitting your insurance for your house and everything else. And quite frankly, I don't feel such an important issue that affects every American should ever be in the hands of any person, a president or anyone else. That's like having Putin sign an order and everybody in Russia. Biden signs an order and all of a sudden all these terrible things happen in the United States. It should be on the election ballot for the American voter to decide. If the American voter decides, then you, well, we have to obey because the voter went out and decided. It should never be in the hands of any individual because there's maybe 20 people around the president, President Biden, saying, well, this, you know, we're going to have a need more green. We need all this. The rest of the world, the rest of America, the little cities and the big cities, they have to pay their bills. If you double the cost of fuel over a period of 16 months, how are you going to get those prices down? Larkin, you've known from being in business yourself, how often do prices go down 50% after they've gone up 50%? Larkin.
No. No, that's what's called an adjustment to the world economy. Listen, I want to make one point before we go any further. You guys talked very early about the bad culture in America. And I like to take our problems to the lowest common denominator, as close to the root of the problem as I can possibly get before I try to pull that weed out of the ground. I want to know where that root is. And here's the problem in America. We saw it last weekend. If you, for any time whatsoever, watched any one of the major networks and saw the Queen's 70th Jubilee, that's patriotism. That's the entire country standing under the Union Jack and celebrating a nation's body. We don't have that. Nowhere. Somebody would scream, if there's a Democratic event or a Republican event, I'm not going at your Republican event. I don't want to go to that. No, we've lost every ounce of patriotic blood that we have in our body.
Yep.
It's either we're wrong, we think wrong, our opinions are bad, it's not what we want to do politically. And the biggest one is our ability to be just totally self-serving and not worry about the multiple plus. But on the same vein, I would say to those who made comments earlier that corporations do what's good for corporations. Well, guess what? That's why they're corporations.
Yes, I agree with that, Larkin. However, those corporations, many of those corporations that were here 25 years ago are now owned by foreign countries. It's just the name. They're no longer in America. They're not in New York.
It doesn't make any difference, Michael.
It's a foreign corporation doing business in America, selling us a label, and we're buying it and not thinking about what's going on. It's the leadership of the country should have done a better job informing the people. My next question is, Larkin, 35 years ago, let's look 35 years ago. You mean to tell me in the first 5 years of the 35 years or 40 years, none of the people in Washington saw that there was detriment happening in the United States as a result of businesses running out to foreign countries? People were losing jobs. Neighborhoods were going down. People were going into poverty, and nobody said a word.
We never saw it ourselves.
Believe me.
It was not an issue.
Larkin,
we never saw it. As a matter of fact, we were out buying from them, going, did you see the price they put on that?
But you want to tell? I have to tell you this. One stupid, and I mean stupid, politician, and I had a battle last week. He says to me, Michael, can't you see that money is being circulated in the United States of America like never before? I said, yes, it is. You're right. That's true. But it's because all the prices of everything we buy has gone up. Not because more people are employed. Not because the government is in better shape. Well, you know, he says, well, I see what your point is, but there's nothing I can do about it. I said, you're an elected politician. Do something. Say something.
Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying. You're kind of making this a pretty simple point. First of all, any concern that we have about China, any concern that we have about manufacturing in this country and to slow down imports has diplomatic, geopolitical, and a world order effect on the universe that we live in. It's just not that simple anymore. But you just don't say, well, listen, we're going to make 50% of what we buy. Go ahead. Knock yourself out.
No, no.
But
Larkin.
No, Michael. You're
We have been doing something very important through our broadcast, through all of our supporters, through the other broadcasters that promote all of the commentaries and all that are put out by our movement. We've been trying to educate the people to look at what they have around them, support what we have so we don't lose more. In other words, support the countries that are here and the companies that are here in the United States, because otherwise they're going to age out or move out. It's one or the other. And when the company businesses people, they get to that retirement age, they just look for somebody to buy it out. The next thing you know, it's XYZ Corporation. And then when you go to the table for settlement, XYZ Corporations located in Vietnam, they had the money, they bought it over, they bought the whole country, the company over, and it's it. And this is how it's been going for years. Now, those favorite nation countries also are not bringing in any money to us. They're sending us products. Our stores are charging the same amount of money as though they were made in America, and those companies that are located foreign now are on a favorite nation status and favorite nation no tariff. Isn't that wonderful? So who is benefiting from this total circus that we're in?
Well,
the American consumer.
How? When they don't have a job to buy it.
Well, you tell me this, Michael. You've got a 40-year-old housewife who's got to buy clothes for her kids. She goes into Walmart and the sweater's $195 and another sweater from overseas is $55. What do you think she's going to buy?
Well, Bruce, I'll tell you what she could buy. And if the government wanted to keep jobs in the United States of America, they could reduce taxes on businesses and regulations on businesses. That is what drove most of the businesses out of the United States of America. Plus the salesman who said, and I was at one of those conferences, I mentioned that several times at 4th and Arch Street at the old Holiday Inn. This guy came in and gave a presentation that even I would have bought into. He said, why would you want to pay people to work in America at your rates? Why would you want to have the keeping up your facilities, your manufacturing facilities, paying people for the office when I can deliver it right to your loading dock and you distribute it as you choose? That was a hell of a good presentation. This guy was not only good, he was the best. He was not an American, but he sold what should be an American selling to the American people. He did not represent his company, which was an importer, to he did not do a bad job representing that country. We don't have anybody in the United States. We're now, as I said before, we're on our knees begging countries to send us gas when we're walking on areas of gas all over the United States. We stopped our pipeline. We did everything to destroy ourselves. And then to make matters worse, people have been going to the phones and complaining. A lot of the organizations and all have been all pushing their people to call their congressmen, call their senators. And the White House is even listed on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You can see, contact your elected official. When you call the White House, says, yes, the president is taking all your ideas into consideration, and we thank you for calling to offer your thing. It goes right into the shredder. Let's be very positive about giving that answer. It goes into the shredder. I know how it works. So if you want something good, now, if somebody called and said, Joe, you're doing wonderful. That executive order was wonderful. The people are overjoyed to see doubled gas taxes and all. Then they'd send that to the president, even take their name. But they don't take your name. It's just been a waste of time and life. We're on our knees. America, instead of being the place where things were invented, they took our inventions, they took them to foreign countries and are bringing them back. If we want something to happen in the United States of America, taxes on businesses have to be lowered and regulations on businesses have to be normalized to track businesses back or expand businesses. Larkin, do you go where you're taxed and you're regulated or do you get out of Dodge?
Then how do you then take this country, which is the number one consuming country in the world? But we're not going to be there for long, understand me.
Well, but
we are not going to hold that for long because we don't have the money, the purchasing power to buy anything. This is where the trouble is.
Okay, Larkin, let me give you a small example in a conversation with another very distinguished, so-called distinguished politician. He says to me, I said to him, what would happen, Joe, if all the ships were not able to come to America for a year? He said, which was the best thing I heard in a while, he said, well, we would find other ways to get things moving to supply the American people. That's the best answer I've ever heard.
No, Michael, have you ever tried to start a company that makes toys? Or knits rugs, or
Yes,
makes clothing.
But I agree.
Have you ever tried that?
But let me say this. Wait a minute, Larkin. Let me just tell you this. We had those companies in the United States of America for over 100 years. Why all of a sudden, after 100 years, did they need to pick up and get the hell out of Dodge?
You've answered that question 12 times.
Okay, so let's try to reverse that. I'm saying let's reverse the situation. And go 50.
And meanwhile, you have to fit in to the world order. You can't say we don't need anybody else. We're going to stick on
ourselves. 50%, not anything else. No, we want to be a global economy, absolutely. But we don't want 70%, 80%, or 90%. You go to some of the people who do the purchasing for clothing, shoes, sneakers. They tell you right away. 90% foreign made. Why is that?
Mark, help me. You just don't stand up and go, okay, we're going to be 50%.
No, you don't. But you give opportunities.
You've got the entire country arguing about abortion, about gun control, about Democrats versus Republicans. You've got a complete babble of
all right.
Country.
You're right, Larkin, but do we have any piece of that devoted to getting businesses and keeping businesses in America?
Okay.
The answer is no, because we're taking all that time and effort, wasting our time on everything else rather than the bread and butter issues needed to keep America great.
your cultural problem has created a situation where we don't even have the workers. I could start a company that knits rugs tomorrow morning, but where am I going to get the workers?
You
Nobody wants to
right.
work.
And no, we have 40 million. Right now, we have 40 don't. Million people in America, well, working market. Age and able bodied. Let's get them off welfare. Let's get them off unemployment.
They don't
like just like that. You know, Larkin, you just touched major. We got a worker cultural change. 60 Minutes is a report. 28 million people quit. We have a huge problem. People don't have what. They don't want to earn money. They don't want to earn a living. They don't want to buy their first house. This is the problem. I've watched companies like Green Toys make toys and grow. It's doable. We're getting there. You got to use the most efficient automation. And there's a lot of reasons to, but the biggest one that concerns me lately is finding skilled trade workers, but the workers don't want to work and they're not returning to work. You can't grow a company without workers.
You can't. You
no.
literally can't.
Well, so, Larkin,
we can't change the curriculum in our schools and think that all of a sudden people are going to want to run back to work. They have no incentive to work.
Okay, Larkin, let me just give you a little example of how some of this could be made better. In most European countries, unemployment comes with obligation. In other words, if you're collecting unemployment, you may have to do community service in your community, help beautify parks, go to various reprogramming services. That's how it is, or you get no money. See, in America, we just give the money. It's like bankrupt the country. We're in over $30 trillion in debt. Bankrupt the country, and okay, we'll pay it. No, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and their grandchildren will never be able to pay off that $30 trillion in debt plus our regular operational expenses. That's the bottom line. We have to talk. We need somebody in Washington who's going to talk about all the issues, but mainly how do we help our American people? I don't want to hear somebody saying, oh, well, you know, this is just the way of the world. What the hell does that mean? But some of these people, they don't like a conversation with me because I ask sensible questions. What would you do? What do you recommend? I don't know. I have to talk to my caucus. My caucus leader is the boss. And, you know, what is that? Well, what the hell are you elected to go to Washington for? Just to be a print? On the side, yes, I agree. No, I don't agree.
I'm just going to mildly suggest to you, Michael, that you're right on. I mean, you're not missing the target. But this kind of huffiness isn't going to take place for some sort of activation or activist movement that says we're not going to do this anymore. Take a look at what Rich has done. I mean, take a look at what Mark has done. That's activity.
That's right.
That's heroes. Independent
right.
people are
Mark
heroes.
Mark took
Victims
the ball, and I plead with Mark. I plead with people always to check out Mark's store, and I hope they're responding to you, Mark, to buy stuff online.
Michael, can I say?
Yes.
Just want to thank Larkin. Larkin, I want to thank you for acknowledging. You know, what I'm doing and what Mark's doing. And Mark has found a way. Mark, that's why I always say how much credit I give you. The world is globally interconnected, Michael. The first trade deal that America ever entered into, I'd have to check my date on this, Larkin, so I'm going to maybe stand corrected. I believe it was in 1795. And it was with Morocco, which is like 4 million miles away from America. We have been a globalized economy.
Absolutely.
Since day one, right? So Michael and Mark has, and Mark, if I can get something that I need from Mark's store, Mark, I will always get it from you, period. I actually don't care if it costs more. I do not care. I care. I mean, it's not to say I don't care. I care, but it's more important to me that someone like Mark gets that business. And that's what I'm trying to say, guys. You know, and I'm not singling anyone out here, but lots and lots of people, Bruce, talk a good game. But when it comes down to what do they do when no one's looking? Unfortunately, Michael, lots, maybe most, they don't do when no one's looking what they say. And that's your first failure in leadership.
You know,
Mark can coexist. My world of technology, Michael, the vast majority of what I sell is partly or mostly manufactured overseas. There are some products I have that are made here, not 100%, but are significantly made here. And then there are products that come from other countries where there are some American-made components. Have I lobbied? Will I continue to lobby to have more product made in the U.S.? Mark, I've been doing that for years.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that we are a globalized world. We are an interconnected world. It's why gas is the way that it is because it is a global market. If it were not a global market, and I'm not saying that the policies of the White House have exactly perhaps helped, but if we were not globalized, Michael, we would have much more control over it. When you're globalized, you don't have as much control as one would like to think that we do. So I give Mark a lot of credit. Mark, and I just wanted to say that I appreciate Mark in acknowledging because I've had a really rough few years, okay? And I'm not saying that to elicit sympathy, but I'm still kicking, Mark.
And you know,
Mark and Bruce, I still got a pulse, so we just keep moving forward. So I just want to say to Mark, and I appreciate that.
As we come near the end, and by the way, this coming Tuesday is Flag Day. Please do fly your flag from Flag Day through the month of October and into Veterans Day. Please do that. I just want to say we've talked a lot today, and it was a good discussion. It give you an idea how I question some of these political people. Here's the difficult thing for me to understand. We have 535 people in Washington. It is now 16 months since that presidential executive order, and everyone is afraid to put in any type of energy act to overpower and to stamp over this goofy bill that the president signed in last a year, 16 months ago. Now I'm trying to count, 16 or 17 months. Can you believe it? So we don't have leaders that are willing to go on an issue that they know 100% will help bring down the price of gas and everything else by having it back to where it was 2 years ago. They don't want to do it because they fear their caucus leadership. This doesn't make sense. And they don't pay attention to the people that have called their offices, who've called the White House, called the elected officials. This is a lack of leadership. It's a lack of brass. And I think that I'm asking all of you again to go to the front page of American Workers Radio. There is right under our pictures and all, there's a contact your elected officials. Give the White House a call. Call your local congressmen and senators before they go on vacation and tell them again. It is now 16 months since the Emergency Energy Act was suggested. Get on it. Have a happy Flag Day. God bless all of you, and may God bless America. It was a great show. Thanks, Bruce, for being with us, and do your best to go out and support American-made.